Good day. It's 7 past the hour on Doug Steffen's Good Day. Rich McFadden here along with Jennifer Horn and Roberta Fasanelli. And Doug is kind of resting himself for a few minutes. He'll be back shortly. As he's got, and he does this a couple times a year, Jennifer.
Yeah, he loses that voice.
His voice just takes a hike. And, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, he's a big health nut. Why is he always getting sick? You know, when you're on the air for 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, and then you're on the cell phone for another few hours, and then you're out there in that hay and corn and cows and all that stuff, he just gets clogged up with all this stuff a couple times a year and has to blow it out. So to try and help us help him, we have Dr. Jack Stockwell with us here, as he is every Wednesday morning, to kind of...
And we have to ask Dr. Jack this, because all morning long, everybody has been like, oh, take some whiskey, gargle with peroxide,
exactly.
Try some honey. So, Dr. Jack, if you have a little touch of laryngitis, what do you recommend? What's your secret?
Yeah.
Well, the thing, you can hear from me that I'm a little bit stuffy. And I'm not on the radio 6 hours a day, but I am on the radio 2 hours a day. And I'm out there teaching health. But it's not always a bug. It's sometimes your body just goes through cyclical detoxifications of its own, mm-hmm. where it just sloughs off and tries to get rid of whatever's been building up in the sinus mucosa. Seasonal changes, especially those associated with allergies, can often trigger it. So that if you don't have a sore throat... And you don't have a stuffed-up head.
Doug says he feels fine. He says he feels great.
Precisely. That's just what I mean. If there aren't other symptoms of sickness being present, just a tired voice that needs a little relaxation, it could be nothing more than just his nasal pharynx, the whole upper respiratory area, sloughing off the layer of mucus that's involved, and it's very irritating to the gag reflex, and it's irritating if any of that gets near the vocal cords. Now, normally it just goes down the esophagus. But still, it can really give you a tired, sore throat that needs a day or two. Not sore, but the laryngitis-type symptoms that needs a day or two to relax.
Now
the thing I like, you know, you could just use some lemon juice in water. That will cut through the muck. And there's a lot of different remedies
out there. How much lemon juice? You put a lemon with a glass of water? I mean,
yeah, put in about maybe a quarter of a lemon. Just squeeze a raw lemon. Not reconstituted. It has to be raw. Into 6-7 ounces of water and drink that
warm
down.
Or
gargle
cold?
With it. A little warm wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
Can you
cold?
Do lemonade? Add a little sugar?
No. Sugar's the problem. And you know how much Doug likes ice cream.
Yes.
And, you think it's a sugar ODing, maybe?
Well, see, my wife, it's her 50th birthday this week. And
she's going to love you announcing that on the radio.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't
mind. You mean
mind.
29, Jack.
Well, that's it, because she looks 29.
That's right.
Yeah, and she
good
acts
save.
19.
Good
so,
save.
Yes, everything is just fine. But the thing is that we had a little party for her at one of my offices this last week, even though her birthday is this coming weekend. And I had a nice big old fat piece of chocolate cake that I shouldn't have had, but I had it anyway. And my voice has been in the condition it's in right now ever since I had that chocolate cake, because that's the biggest dose of sugar I've had at one time in the last several months.
And so just, you're telling me I have some congestion in my right ear. My right ear is clogged up. Here he is coughing his out. My right ear is clogged up. You're telling me if I put away all sugar for the next 3 or 4 days, because we had a long Labor Day weekend and all kinds of, man, I can't tell you how many cookies, cheesecakes, and chocolates were brought to my house Friday night for a little shindig that I have.
Huh? How much beer?
Yeah, good amount
of
beer.
He was a wine guy this weekend.
I was a wine guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's got lots of sugar, too.
Well, it does. It does. But the carbs in the beer are a little rougher on you than a little bit of the sugar that's in a wine.
So if I go 2-3 days without any carbs or any sugar, you say my right ear will clear up?
There's a good chance that it will, yes.
Okay. That, and you might want to take your finger out of it.
Can't do that.
But you also,
on it.
You probably also need what I do.
Which is?
So I'll be in the office all day. Just get out to Dulles and jump on an express, and we'll pick you up at the airport.
No problem. I'll be out there. I've been thinking about making a trip out there. I want to have you look at my noggin.
Yeah.
Needs help.
I need you to stay for a couple of days.
So
you can run the show from my house.
Awesome. I'm out there.
Yeah.
So back to Doug. Just because you have laryngitis, does it necessarily mean that there is mucus involved, or could it just be a tired... Larynx.
Yeah, it's just a tired larynx. Yeah. It does. There could be mucus involved, and there could also be a little pain. And if there's some pain, then there's some kind of infectious process going on, either a viral or bacterial origin. But if there's no fever and there's no pain, it just may be tired and worn out. Mm-hmm. Now, even though he does 6 hours of radio a day and an hour of at least singing over those 6 hours of radio.
Yeah. At least.
Resembles singing. Barely.
You know, I've heard him the last couple of times. He's been on pitch.
Whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yesterday, well, not so
yeah,
much.
You are congested pretty badly.
No, I didn't hear him yesterday.
I went to the doctor about that.
Yeah, I went to work yesterday on the motorcycle, so I didn't hear him yesterday.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about last week and the week before. But, no, Standard Process makes this herbal throat spray. And just a couple of squirts of that in the back of the throat usually does the job. Yeah. But there's all kinds of old remedies.
Well, see, and that's what I was just getting ready to get to. Last month's Consumer Report magazine had all of their readers do a comparison on alternative medicines or therapies versus drugs. And yes, it would go through each and every single symptom. Okay, back pain, neck pain, allergies, whatever it was. And they would say, okay, these are the 15 top responses that people listed. And surprisingly, chiropractic was in there on, I don't know, let's say there were 10 symptoms that they had or 10 ailments that they had.
Yes.
Chiropractic was number 2, 3, or 4. And even number 1 on neck pain, it was obviously number 1. But on like on colds and allergies, chiropractic was like number 3.
Yeah.
You know? But drugs was across the board number 1. I mean, even when they talked about depression and anxiety, chiropractic was in there, and massage, deep tissue massage, and yoga, and all of these other alternative things. So when we're talking about congestion and these, you know, fall colds that we're all going to get, what is the number one thing that we can do at home to kind of help get us through this season?
Well, I was
without
just about
drugs
falling over yesterday in my clinic. I was feeling so horrible until one of my associates gave me a chiropractic adjustment. And from that moment on, I started feeling much, much better. And by the time I got home, I was feeling great. Because what chiropractic does is it goes to the nervous system. Chiropractors are known for the back pain and neck pain stuff. But it's the nerves that they're concerned about. And they want to calm down the irritated, agitated nerves. It's the same thing with laryngitis, the old home recipes and remedies from the hills that people use, the honey. I never heard of gargling whiskey, but, you know, you ever
trust
know.
Trust me, it works.
Okay. But the thing, what you're looking for there is to calm down the nerves that are on the surface of the skin that are so irritated that are causing little microspasms of the muscles, especially the smooth muscle tissue, which is why the vocal cords have a very hard time doing their job, you know, without sounding really rough, like I sound right now. And I'm not going to go gargle whiskey, but I'm going to go grab a bottle of this. It's a small little spray bottle, you know, the size of a bottle like for washing glass lenses. And so it's just a couple of sprays in the back of the throat, and that's all I need to do. But the honey people will use, the lemon juice people will use,
yeah,
and a lot of the other, sometimes they'll do a little cinnamon, sometimes a little cayenne. It's different from one person to the next, but what it does is it gives a calming effect to the nerves that are on the surface of the skin so that those little tiny spasms slow down and relax, and you can get back to normal sound modulation.
You know, we're a big fan of the honey. My kids love honey, so they'll eat it easily.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they would rather have honey than the grape-flavored medicine that they take for a cough and cold.
With the grape-flavored medicine, what you're doing is you're chemically forcing the body to do something. That's why drugs was listed as the number one thing for all of those categories you gave, because drugs will chemically force the body to do something. It never forces the body to heal. It's just going after the symptoms, forcing the symptoms to do something other than how they're manifesting themselves.
Isn't it true, though, that if you take care of the symptoms, if you take the symptoms away from the ailment, that the body will then be able to cure itself faster?
Well, that's the drug argument.
Right.
But if you go to the underlying cause as to why the symptom emerged, the symptom will go away anyway on its own, which is eventually what happens with colds and flus anyway, because you can't address a cold and a flu with drugs. All you can do is address the various symptoms that go with it, because they're usually viral in origin, and drugs have no effect on a virus. And if you go to a doctor, a medical doctor with a flu or a cold, and you've got some kind of, you know, feverish, fluish type symptom going on, they always give you antibiotics anyway, and you say, well, wait, doc, this is viral. Mm. Yeah, it's viral, but we just want to make sure that there's no bacterial involvement, so they start throwing more drugs at you. And it's not their fault. We've pushed them into this. Society has pushed the medical practice into this because if you don't go, if Dr. A doesn't give you the drugs, you're going to go to Dr. B.
Right.
And Dr.
Yeah.
A doesn't want to lose your business, so he's right. going to give you the drugs you're looking for, yeah. even though he knows it's almost completely ineffective for what you're looking for.
All right, we've got 30 seconds left. Roberta just got back from a long trip down the Colorado River where she was sleeping outside on the ground with no tent, no sleeping bag or anything like that. What kind of ailment is she going to die from in the next few weeks being bit by some spider or bug?
Hey, everybody knows. The sleeping on the ground along the Colorado River, especially in Utah, is healing. It's palliative.
Good for the
and it brings
absolutely.
Life back to you, and it revigorates the spirit.
So she's going to be around for a couple of more weeks.
She'll be around for a couple more decades now.
There it is. It's official, Roberta. You're going to be around, so you better get your
You've
queen
been warned.
Ready for tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, there he is, Dr. Jack Stockwell. Check him out at jackstockwell, StockWell.com. It's good day time. It's 18 past the hour.
Protection against web-based threats like malware and phishing has become a serious challenge for companies with distributed workforces. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Web Security Flex combines physical and virtual gateways with cloud services to protect both on-site and remote users from a single portal. Stop web threats. Visit Barracuda.com/Flex to try Barracuda Web Security Flex free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/Flex.
As a home plate ump, my eyesight is my paycheck.
Strike one!
Strike, that thing was chin high!
But the price of monthly contact lenses was eating me up.
Strike two!
Come on, it bounced to the plate!
So to save some money, I'm just using these glasses I found. Cha-ching!
Strike three, you're up!
He hasn't even pitched the ball yet!
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to Geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
You know, getting the brands you want doesn't have to mean worrying about a big credit card bill.
Man, I hate worrying. It gives me the hives.
Yeah. Anyways, at Rent-A-Center, you don't even need a credit card. And if you ever need to bring it back and stop paying, well, you can. So you never have to worry.
Hey, the hives are going away, brother.
Right now at Rent-A-Center, rent-to-own 60-inch LG plasmas for a special price, worry-free. See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Eventually, it's going to happen. You'll turn the key and your engine won't start. Don't lose your ability to get around. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for a super start battery. Whether it's a reliable economy, hard-working premium, or powerful extreme, you'll find it in stock at an everyday low price. Don't let a dead battery get you down. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wanted OnStar, but it didn't come with your car? Well, all that's changed. Introducing OnStar FMV, a mirror you can add to your car. So drive your Ford, your Toyota, your Honda to Best Buy, and you can drive away with automatic help in a crash, stolen vehicle and roadside assistance, navigation, Bluetooth, and more. The wait is over. Get it installed on your car today. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, subscription details, and stores near you.
21 past on good day.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
From From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought no one with me. No one would be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Three after the hour now on the Doug Steffen Good Day program. Every time I open my mouth, I think, there's got to be a voice there someplace. This week, a very special week, and as we are going back and remembering what happened 10 years ago, I'm more interested in having you think about where we are now and where we move to. So we're spending some time here with Dr. Benjamin Pratt, who worked for many years as a pastoral counselor, specialized in helping men and women in public service. He's, interestingly enough, a literary scholar who has researched Ian Fleming's life and literary career with James Bond. So this is a focus on, in part, the book that he authored, Ian Fleming's Seven Deadlier Sins and 007's Moral Compass. A Bible study with James Bond. That seems like almost a stretch, Dr. Pratt. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Doug. Yes, it is a stretch, without a doubt. I know that, but after studying it for many, many years, I believe that Fleming was very much into wrestling with the modern moral dilemmas that all of us face. Not in the movies so much,
no.
but definitely in the novels.
All right, so the moral dilemma we face now is being in part too accusatory toward one group of people they're certainly members of this group that are responsible for the problems we had 10 years ago, but have we decided that they deserve a break? And where is the moral compass of being judgmental come in on this?
Well, one of the sins, shall we say, one of the seven deadlier sins that Fleming emphasized was the sin of self-righteousness, as if we know exactly what should be in someone else's mind, or what's behind my eyeballs. I'd be the one that's in charge of this world. Many of us have really tried to search our soul about what is of importance to us. I have many good Jewish friends, many good Muslim friends, and certainly there are fringe elements in every faith tradition. Hopefully we have understood that we worship a common God. We just worship in different ways.
Mm-hmm. James Bond is a player here. Let's say he'd been part of this. You got any thoughts as to how it might have played out? Obviously, this is a fictional character, but yet in our minds, many of us think he's almost real. And so when you look at a situation as it existed and perhaps look to the future, how to prevent these things, how does James Bond play into that?
Well, our world was shaken, just as Ian Fleming's world was shaken. Fleming, in very, very personal ways, he was not quite nine when his father was killed on the front lines in France.
Mm-hmm.
He lost a brother in the Second World War, and he was the personal secretary to the head of British Naval Intelligence. He saw the tragedies that went on in an extraordinarily shaken time. And then Much of what he wrote, of course, was during the Cold War era, which was also a very shaken time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the directive that I've invited people in my book and in other ways is to stir our lives from the shakenness by really wrestling with our most basic moral values.
Mm.
And that's what I've been doing. And does that answer your question?
Well, there's several fronts here, yeah. The front that we address in looking at the freedoms that we've lost, the incursion of government into our lives, and how that excuse me, probably isn't going to change much in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
That may be true.
But now the realization that there are bad guys, can we handle the bad guys one-on-one, kind of like James Bond did, instead of having the military everywhere?
Well, that is the hope of many of us, so
yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I invite is for us as small communities and as a nation and as individuals, because I think in a way that's exactly what Fleming was doing, because James Bond, who in many ways represents both the ideal adventurer that mm-hmm. Fleming hoped he could be, but also it represents the struggling man who was trying to face his own sinfulness.
His own demons.
Our demons, our
yeah.
dragons.
Yep, we all have them.
We all have them. And the fascinating thing to me is that Fleming, in an obscure work, named what he called the seven deadlier sins. And I think I broke the code in that 007 is the right to slay the seven deadlier sins, so that the personifications of these sins in the evil characters that Bond is searching for are a greater manifestation of his own personal struggle with those sins. And each of us must wrestle in our own way with our self-righteousness, with our hypocrisy, with our greed.
Let he who is without guilt cast the first stone.
Yea, verily.
Yeah, there. That's a way for us to put this into. We've become very judgmental and perhaps not, although this particular incident was totally unacceptable and uncalled for. So, some good things to think about. Dr. Pratt, thank you. Benjamin Pratt, and the book is called Ian Fleming's Seven Deadlier Sins and 007's Moral Compass.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
It's 33 after the hour now. Go ahead, Roberta. Laugh. Go ahead, Jennifer. Laugh.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Richie. That funny.
Laugh.
I'm sorry for you.
Go ahead.
What are we laughing about?
His voice.
Oh. All right. So,
I think your voice sounds sexy to me.
Ooh, Roberta, thank you.
That's sexy to you, huh?
Really?
I love
them.
Really?
Clear it again.
Clear it again. Clear it again.
I love the sound of phlegm.
She's a phlegming kind of girl.
Yeah.
Phlegm in the morning. Yes.
So, I know you've been carrying on a number of errors, and I am not going to. We actually were going to meet somebody here who also would help us work our way around understanding some of the challenges moving forward regarding September 10th. I did want to spend a few minutes. We do have her there. Okay, all right. Let's. As a matter of fact, make note at some point later in the week when my voice comes back, I want to have some time with Roberta especially, and then Jennifer, how the two big cities dealt with September 11th, and then as we go forward 10 years after. Right now on Good Day, Terry Sears, who is the executive director of Tuesday's Children. She also served as chairman of the board at Tuesday's Children. She's devoted much of her life to dealing with the challenges surrounding children, young women, serves on the board of a number of foundations that deal with the same thing that Tuesday's Children deals with. It's a nonprofit family service organization, which was actually founded by friends and family of those who were victims of September 11th. Terry, it's very good to have you here to tell your story.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Where were you on September 11th?
You know, I was home on September 11th in a community about 15 miles outside of Manhattan called Manhasset, Long Island. And I was taking care of my four children. I had been involved in nonprofit for many years, both on the foundation side, as well as, the sort of nonprofit side. But, when September 11th happened, our community of Manhasset was, really devastated. 38 families, lost an immediate family member. And, you know, just in all of my children's grades, each child had a classmate who had lost a parent on September 11th. So it was a really profound and devastating, you know, sort of impact on the community of Manhasset, Long Island.
Let me take a tact here for a minute. One of my co-hosts and colleagues is Roberta Fasanelli, who also has a home on Long Island, not far from where you are. And I wondered if I put the two of you together. Actually, Roberta was on the air me on that morning. And I guess what I'm wondering is you're 15 miles away, but you were close enough to feel and see things that most other people didn't see, even though they weren't on top of the situation. You were, sort of. And suggesting, Terry, that you have lost people on Manhasset that were in the tower. Roberta, I wonder, as we think about this, we always just think of Manhattan as New York.
Right.
New York is a really big, the tentacles spread out everywhere. People who live out in the island or live up in Westchester or down even in New Jersey.
In Connecticut also.
Right. Have their connections to New York City. And on this day, I guess I would be interested in listening to the two of you talk for a minute about the realities of just dealing with being so close to it. I mean, I was in Boston. I'm watching it. Okay. Mm-hmm. The thing that connected it with me was the two planes that went into the Trade Center were both flights to Los Angeles that had taken off from Boston.
Right.
Now, so spend a minute, if you will, because I don't want this to be about the past.
Before you die.
Yeah, right. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure for you, because I'm in Port Washington, so which is very, very close to Manhasset. I mean, we're practically, you know, next to each other. And I know for weeks when the air shifted, you could smell the devastation. There was electrical smells, there were dust smells, and there were smells that I had never smelled before and really didn't want to know what I was smelling. And also, if you got high enough, this area, Port Washington and Manhasset, it's kind of like on a peninsula that sticks out into Long Island Sound. And if you got high enough or you went to some of the docks, you could actually see the smoke. It would rise up into the sky, and then it would make a 45-degree turn depending on how the winds were going. And, my gosh, I think it was months, wasn't it, that plume of smoke was there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it was in Port Washington, you really had a straight-on view to ground zero there from the water. And I think that, you know, this community from – I mean, one of the most sort of poignant scenes that I recall, other than, Roberta, what you're speaking about, was the cars in the parking lot in the days that followed. Yeah, that was just really just took your breath away when you went by a train station and there were, you know, 20, 30, 40 cars. Not all were cars of victims. Some were people that couldn't get home that night, et cetera. But still, it was just the most sort of eerie you know, sort of breathtaking sight that you just had never seen before.
Yeah. And Terry, what folks have to understand is that this community, you know, of Manhasset, Port Washington, Great Neck, a tremendous number of people who work in Manhattan and who work downtown live in these communities because it's the only train line that has a direct run into Penn Station, which then you can get the downtown trains. So, you know, the expresses are under a half hour to get into Manhattan from this area. And so there was a lot of people who lived here who work down at the Trade Center. So it really impacted this community immensely. Manhasset, Great Neck was also Roslyn was affected. Port Washington, it was quite heart wrenching.
So Terry, to bring us up to speed here, you run you're involved with Tuesday's Children, which is now serving hundreds, if not thousands, of families and children who were connected directly in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut to the tragedy.
Yes, when you include the 9/11 responders, the rescue and recovery workers, we serve close to 10,000 family members impacted by the events of September 11th. Half of our work is for the families. We call them the 9/11 families.
When you say work, what's the work entail?
Well, we have a platform of programs that have been in place since the very beginning, from our mentoring program, which serves the youngest of children. Many of the children who lost a parent are 9, 10, 11, and 12. Mm-hmm. The average age of a child on September 11th was 8 when they, he or she lost his mom or dad. And now many of those kids are, you know, in their teens, 17, 18, but there's many younger children. There's hundreds of children that are only now coming into the understanding of what it means to have lost a parent on September 11th. That's why we feel it's so important for Tuesday's Children to continue long-term bringing these families together and allowing these children to recover and, you know, move on with their life is really the overwhelming goal.
Is this psychological? Is this physical? Is this spiritual? What are these needs that you're meeting?
Well, I would say that the sort of mantra of Tuesday's Children is try to fill in for the parent lost. So really, you know, with a mentoring program, it's providing another set of eyes and ears.
A sort of big brother, big sister, specifically?
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it's really, you know, somebody else who has a child's interest in mind as they grow. And many of the mentors that we have in the program, have they themselves lost a parent from many other sort of reasons as a youngster and knows what the impact of that has been on their life. So our other programs are, you know, educational and career guidance. So helping these kids, you know, apply to college. When you bring a group of 9/11 family members together, and many of these moms are still single moms. We don't have exact data, but the majority of the members of Tuesday's Children have not gone on and remarried is our sense in our informal surveys. So there's still single parent families that when you're facing, you know, a college application process, that can be daunting to do that alone. So we bring our moms and dads together and help them navigate that process. We also do a lot of programs, seeing as it is 10 years later, called Helping Heals. They're volunteer programs to give back to others. We've brought the 9/11 kids down to Texas, to New Orleans after Katrina, to Costa Rica to rebuild a home, many different programs like that where they give to others, and that really our sort of tagline is Helping Heals with those programs.
Yeah, I wondered how you kept in touch with all of them, because at this point they're getting to the age of going to school or perhaps going off on their own, some of them.
Well, yeah, we have a database, and that's where, you know, the numbers of close to 10,000 come in. Of half of those are 9/11 family members, meaning a family who lost a parent or a loved one on September 11th or a sibling, and the other half of the 9/11 responders. So we send information, for instance, in advance of the 10-year anniversary, how to deal with the inevitable sort of deluge of press that's going to surround the anniversary. How do you speak to your child about September 11th as they grow older? Mm-hmm. How do you speak to your child about the, you know, death of Bin Laden?
How do you speak to them about all of these things? How would you, if you're a child, if there was some connection, let's say you horribly lost a husband or something, and you were speaking to your children, how do you do that?
Well, I am not a mental health expert. We have those on staff, but from, you know, their knowledge and through the knowledge of the mental health experts we've been working with over the years, it's really just, you know, answer the questions that they ask and, you know, little bits of information at a time and really sort of, you know, contextualize the information so that a child, you know, feels safe and feels loved, but just, you know, they get the understanding that they need, you know, as they grow.
How about their attitude toward Muslims, let's say, people from the Middle East, as they become adults and they're influenced by others who may not be particularly open-minded or may be pretty judgmental? There are good reasons to be judgmental about some, but how do we, I mean, that seems to me to be part of that may be the most difficult part of this task.
I mean, one of the programs that we've run for the last 4 years, which continues to grow in number and scope, is our international program called Project Common Bond, mm-hmm. where we bring the 9/11 teens, those ages 15 through 20 approximately, together with children who have also lost a parent or family member owing to an act of terrorism. And we bring them together in a group for, you know, 8 days, 10 days, for a sort of peace-building, understanding, healing program. And I think programs like that serve to lessen, you know, any sort of prejudice when you sort of see children from Israel and Palestine coming together and mm-hmm. understanding that they both lost somebody, you know, through acts of violence related to terrorism, but yet you are still a human with that pain in your heart, and how can we move forward? And I think that's what we try to sort of instill in the family members. This is sort of about moving forward and not about, you know, blaming or looking back.
No, it's absolutely. How do you get your funding?
A variety of sources. Initially, you know, many large organizations like the American Red Cross and the Robin Hood Foundation and other large foundations were donating lots of money from corporations to organizations like Tuesday's Children. About 5 to 7 years after the events of 9/11, it became more difficult to secure funding, and like many other 9/11 organizations, it was a really sort of energetic scramble to finding the individuals that want to support you over the long term, because any organization, nonprofit, it's the individuals that will repeat their funding. So, you know, we have a wonderful individual donor base, which I think is close to about 18,000 members, which we're very proud of that because, you know, those are people that really want to see our promise and commitment to the 9/11 families continue. And those are the people that will sustain us.
Let me ask you, I don't know that I made this clear or asked the question right, or we have an answer to this. The families who were part of the victims, i.e. in the building, versus families who lost someone as a first responder, they all part of the of who you're serving?
Well, I would tell you this, that what we call the survivors of 9/11, I think, to be fair and frank, I don't know that we have done enough for that population. I don't know.
The first responders.
The first responders we've been working with, and those are the all the men and women that rushed down to Ground Zero in the days and weeks after September 11th to work on the pile, so to speak, for the 9 months after the events of September 11th. But there are hundreds of people that escaped the building. There are people that saw a lot. There are people that really experienced a lot of PTSD. And our focus has not been on those victims, if you will, because I think we hear that many of them are still, you know, having trouble either going back into Manhattan or, and that has not been our focus to date, and our focus has mainly been on the 9/11 families and 9/11 responders.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Well, the work continues. You see it in the next 10 years. The need for what you're doing will dissipate as people become adults.
Well, I would say this. You know, we've spent a lot of time thinking about the mission of Tuesday's Children over the next decade. And while it seems that so many people from young adults, you know, our teens that are involved in Project Common Bond, to adults around the world, I'm going to Europe next week to participate in an international congress for victims of terrorism, that, you know, unfortunately, these kinds of acts of violence are not going away. Mm. We saw what happened in Norway in July. And I think that, you know, there were close to 400 9/11 organizations, and we are one of the last guys standing. We're certainly the largest and certainly the one focused on the evolving family needs. Mm-hmm. I think we have a story to tell. We have, you know, lessons to share. And I think the expertise of Tuesday's Children's staff and board can be shared, you know, to other organizations around the world. And that's sort of the direction that Tuesday's Children is headed in.
Got it. Terry Sears, Executive Director of Tuesday's Children, stronger than ever. 10 years past September 11th on the Doug Steffen Good Day program.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Save big during the PetSmart Fall Festival of Savings. You'll find great deals on thousands of items when you use your Pet Perks card.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. All other whey proteins are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is now the standard by which all other whey protein powders can be measured. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Everybody shimmy, shimmy, bop, bop.
Shimmy, shimmy. I love this band. Don't mean to be cruel. You never
even knew about the heartache. I've been going. There it comes. Well, try and try to forget you, girl. The Wonders, That Thing You Do, from the Tom Hanks film. From
That Thing You Do.
Chucker. They did That Thing You Do, and that was the only thing they did. It was a one-hit wonder movie about a band in 1964 had one hit. The movie was out in 1996, and the star of that movie, besides Tom Hanks, Tom Everett Scott, turns 41 years old today. I guess he was the one who was the drummer, Chucker.
Yeah, he works a lot on television. He was on ER, and he's currently on the TV show Southland. He has a part on that show.
Yeah, you know what? He's one of those guys, like, you see his face, and you're like, yeah, that guy.
He's bounced around. I'd say he's bounced around on at least six to ten television shows in the last 10 years.
So he's a working guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, hey, I'm looking up at his IMDb right now. He's got... 3 movies that have just been completed. Although it's not good when in one of the movies you're listed as man.
No.
I didn't even give you a name.
Who do you play? I play man.
All right, it's 55 past on Good Day. It's time for Chuck Curry and Movie Moments. Doug is taking a little break with his voice. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Until then, we're going to do our movie contest where we play a couple of clips from a movie that you know, hopefully. And when you go, I know that movie, you pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-510-8255, 1-800-510-TALK. And Chucker usually gets these right away. Roberta is clueless. She doesn't know any of them. And Jen and I are usually a toss-up. So, yeah, let's see what we get here. All right, here's clue number one.
Look, I'm sorry. I thought you understood. If I misled you in some way, I apologize.
Got it.
I don't think it's a good idea if we talk to each other anymore. Okay? Goodbye.
Yeah, this movie freaked men out for years. Years. So 1-800-510-8255 if it freaked you out. Jen, you got it?
Wait a second. I need one more.
All right. And Chuck, you got it?
I think I got it, yeah.
Okay. Roberta, you have no clue, right? Okay.
Why are you so hostile? I'm not your enemy.
Yeah, why are you trying to hurt me?
I'm not trying to hurt you, Dan. I love you.
You what?
I love you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does that have something to do with the rabbit?
Yeah. In a way.
Okay.
All right. Clue number three for you.
What am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls. You change your number. I'm not going to be ignored.
All right. That gives it away, right?
The only biggest thing is if you ever watch a DVD or Blu-ray, you watch the alternative ending. It's really cool.
You know, I don't...
You get something totally different with the ending.
I have to say that I know, and after we get the answer to the movie, I have to know what that is, because I never did see it, so I don't know what the alternative ending is. So, but yeah, if you know it, give us a call, 1-800-510-8255, and Chucker has Movie Movins coming up in 60 seconds.
Everyone knows that Cosmo's considered the Bible, a magazine that provides women with all the info they need to have more satisfying relationships and hotter sex lives. But you may not realize that millions of men regularly sneak a peek at it. Well, now there's good news for male Cosmo fans. The brand has just launched CFG, Cosmo for Guys, an interactive monthly app for iPad packed with tips on understanding and pleasing a woman, both in and out of bed. Kate White, editor-in-chief of Cosmo.
The idea for CFG really came from men themselves. They often tell us that they love reading Cosmo because they want to find out what makes females tick. With CFG, we tell them everything they're dying to know. Guys will love all the secrets we reveal, from the touch thousands of women crave in bed to the five words you should never say on a date.
Find the CFG, Cosmo for Guys iPad app on the App Store or at iTunes.com/App Store.
All right, Chucker, what do you got for us?
Okay, Rich, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis reportedly signing on for larger roles in the sequel to The Expendables, which will once again star Sylvester Stallone and Jason Statham. Now, rumors have it that Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chuck Norris will also join the project. Now, the question is not whether Chuck Norris joins the movie, but whether the movie joins Chuck Norris.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I loved Chuck Norris's early work, so I'd be fun if he actually comes aboard.
That'll be fun. All right, let's see. It's interesting we had all women call to answer this movie, so let's go to Ann in Williamsport. Ann, what's the answer? What is that movie?
Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, did it freak your husband out for a little while? Keep him to be a good boy, did it?
Have you ever boiled a bunny before?
It's 58 past the hour on Good Day. Thanks, Ann. Thanks, Chucker. Energy.